beheaded in a Roman prison. Yeah, tell me something I don't know. Yes, of course God loved Paul. That's my point. Yes, Peter, Stephen, I know all these people. That's exactly my point. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender reporting once again from my South American bunker. That's my point, is that God's love is tough, but he is doing us a great favor by bringing us trials. Now, I could say that now as I'm in my bunker. It's rather nice here in the bunker today. The temperature's warm. There are no enemies swarming about me as I speak, so I'm in relative comfort. But many of God's servants have gone through terrible times of not being in any kind of comfort. I doubt that being crucified upside down is comfortable. I'd much rather have my head chopped off if I had a choice. Don't mean to get morbid here. But God's people are put through the ringer on this earth, but it's because God loves them. Stop loving me. Not really. Don't say that, because in Philippians 1:29, Paul writes, "It is graciously granted to you not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. It's graciously granted you because of what it produces." Here we go again with looking through the book of Revelation into what it produces. And when we're going to study the eons, not today, but we're going to study the eons, because this is God's a calendar, and you're going to see what is going to be produced in the fourth eon. Nobody goes into details about that. Why is it? You know, I didn't enter into this lightly, this study of the book of Revelation. Part of me didn't want to do it because the book's so darn hard. But I know people want to know all the bad things that are going to happen. People are morbid, and there's part of me that really resents that about people. I suppose there's some of that in me too. Yeah, I have to admit there is. That sick curiosity, you want to linger over the ugly details of something. But we are going to do something that few people do. We are going to show. I am going to show you what is going to happen in the thousand-year kingdom. I'm going to show you all the blessings that will come, that were prophesied about in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures specifically, and we're going to see those things come to fruition. Fruit is a good place to start, because a curse is going to be lifted from this planet, and it's going to be restored to Edenic splendor. Edenic, right? The Garden of Eden. Eden-like. It's going to be better than Eden, but the curse, there's a curse on this earth right now. God cursed the ground so that Adam had to work hard to produce anything. And anybody who tends a garden knows that if you don't get rid of the weeds are going to grow and your cucumbers are going to die. That's the way things work now. And that upsets me, that weeds thrive and cucumbers die. And you have to get rid of the weeds, and it's constant work. The earth is going to be rejuvenated. People are going to be rejuvenated. Computers are going to be no more. The internet's going to be gone. If you're going, "Oh God, no, not the internet." But I think most of you are going, "Yes, finally, no cell phones." That's right. People are going to be riding donkeys again. That's right. Because we think we're so progressive. We think this is progress. You think that humanity has progressed to come to the state where we have cell phones. Oh boy, now we can stare at this and be the slave of this piece of machinery and our computers. And what have all the conveniences of life done for us? They've screwed us over. They've made us slaves of technology. We have Big Brother now, and we have satellite technology. It's all related, and it's brought us under slavery. Humanity is going to be delivered from this ominous presence of technology, and it's going to be given peace, granted peace and quiet. Everybody's going to be leading a mild and quiet life. So we're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at the time period that comes after it. Time period that comes after it is even more blessed, the fifth eon. So really, and the fifth eon could be 20,000 years long, or at least 10,000 years long. the fifth eon, the eon that comes after the thousand-year kingdom. So really, if you look at it this way, I'm giving you a sneak preview into the eons. There are five eons. We have three evil eons and two good eons. We are in the last evil eon, eon three, the eon that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a nasty, wicked eon. Paul calls it that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. So this 3.5-year period is the burn, is the pang, is the birth pang that's going to not only bring us into eon 4, but eon 5 as well, because eons 4 and 5, that is the kingdom eon and the new heavens and the new earth, are a group. They're their own separate group. As Paul says in Ephesians, to God be the glory for the eons of the eons. He's referring to the last two eons in a series of five eons. That's when God's going to get the glory. That's when the good stuff starts, as you've heard me say. So this 3.5 years, it's even better than what I told you at the beginning of the week. I told you at the beginning of the week that 3.5 years buys you 1,000 years of bliss. It's even better than that. I say to you now that 3.5 years of trial, anguish, birth pangs is going to buy you 11,000 years of blessing. And if you want to add to that, the universe doesn't end at the end of the eons. At that point, eternity. Of his kingdom there shall be no consummation. You're wanting me to get... Okay, I remember I want somebody to remind me about Paul. And I have to say this, that as we go through the book of Revelation, I want you to realize that this is not the gospel of grace. You're not reading about the gospel of grace. You're generally just reading about how God is going to refine Israel. That's a big part of the book of Revelation, to take his nation and finally wake them up, bring them into their kingdom, put the write the law on their hearts. The nation is going to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, but it's not just for Israel. It's also going to cleanse the earth of all the defilement, just like Noah's flood did back in the day. Noah's flood destroyed the earth and prepared it for something new. Likewise, the tribulation, as told in the book of Revelation, is going to clear the earth to prepare it for something new. So it's specifically for Israel, but it's generally also for the earth. The earth gets side benefit of being destroyed, okay? But again, it's for the ultimate good. So this is not our gospel in the book of Revelation. Our gospel is found in the 13 letters of Paul. So you see, this is my hesitation. I've hesitated getting into this book. Some people have told me, Martin, don't do it. Do not teach on the book of Revelation. People are going to think that this information is for us. They think that we're going to be here during this time. There's a big theological arguments about the rapture. I hate that term. It's not the term. There's big arguments about when that's going to take place, before the tribulation, in the middle of it, or after it. We're going to solve that problem. I'll tell you right now, it's before it. We're not appointed to indignation. But you're not going to find that information in the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave this message to the Apostle John, who is an eyewitness to the things Jesus did, to show him the things that were going to occur at the close of the eon, to bring Israel into her expectation, her hope, what God promised Abraham to be the head of all the nations. John is writing to seven ecclesias. I'm getting specific now a little bit, right? Seven ecclesias that existed at the time and will exist in the end times. I know that sounds freaky, but I'm going to explain that to you. Paul's letters, on the other hand, the 13 letters of Paul, are written to members of the body of Christ. And you will not find, well, yes, you will. In 2 Thessalonians, you'll find a brief mention of Paul. And a couple other places, just briefly, he'll talk about indignation. He'll talk about the day of indignation. But overall, generally, Paul speaks about grace. And I never am going to let you forget the Apostle Paul. In fact, I'm going to contrast Paul constantly as I go through, verse by verse, the book of Revelation. I'm not going to let you get bogged down in that. This is what people are afraid. I'm going to get bogged down. All I'm going to be thinking about is trial and about the Antichrist and about the mark of the beast and about the beast in Babylon and Jerusalem. And I'm don't worry about that, because I'm not going to let myself get bogged down in this. I'm going to stay my usual happy self. How can you, Martin Zender, drag us through the book of Revelation and stay your happy self? I'm going to keep the perspective. It's brief. It's short. It's bringing in wonderful blessings. And it's not even written to us anyway. I'll leave you with that thought. The book of Revelation is not written to us. All scripture is for us, for our learning, for our edification, for our knowledge about God, but it's not all written to us. It's written to seven churches in Asia Minor. What's written to us? The 13 letters of the Apostle Paul. More about that tomorrow. Thanks for being with me. This has been Martin Zender from my South American bunker, and by the grace of God, I'll be back.